Well, here it is, my friends. I call you blessed in Jesus' name. Welcome, fam. I call you guys blessed. And you know what? Today is a special edition of The Pulse where I'm actually going to be taking you on a Bible study through Luke chapter 24. So listen, you do want to bring a Bible with you today. And I double dog dare you to bust out your Bible as we go line up on line for the next 20 minutes or so as we talk about the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is going to be good stuff, I promise. So be sure and be a media missionary. Be sure and help me by actually sharing this thing. And you guys, you know what happens? There's so many more people see this whenever y'all actually share this. Be a media missionary. Share this. Smash the button. Ring the bell. Do the things. And then always comment and let me know that you're watching out there. I love that so much. Okay, so today I'm going to start something because here for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be doing a Bible study together on The Pulse. Now, immediately following this, my friends are going to be joining me, and we're going to be doing some fun stuff, going to be giving you some awesome updates. But I want to tell you, whenever I did the Easter message, I actually told everybody, the most important thing in life is to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. And you know, sadly, there's a lot of people that I believe that know Jesus, but they never tapped into the power of the resurrection. And a lot of that is simply because of religion. A lot of that is because of the culture that they're a part of, or they just don't think that they can be powerful people or bad motor scooters, as I like to say. But today we're going to tackle that together as we go through Luke chapter 24. So go ahead and bust out your Bibles. And I want to remind everybody to be sure and call us. Hey, I got to ask you this. Are you standing with me concerning this Branson House? Are you standing with me concerning all the projects that we have to rescue so many kids and so many women out of the horrors of sexual trafficking? Don't forget, last year, out of our 908 kids that we actually rescued out of sexual slavery, there was more than 150 that were actually boys. And so I say more, it was actually around 150, and I don't remember what the exact number was, but it was around 150. It might have been a little bit less than that, but it was around 150 were boys. And some of these kids are little boys, and we got to take care of them too. This is the role of the body of Jesus. So call the number. Call 877-413-0888, or you can always go to odx.tv, sign up and give, or go to troybrewer.com. That's what you got to do. All right. So I want to do something I hadn't done in a while. I just want to just do a Bible study with you. Now, this is a big deal to me. Luke chapter 24 is one of those chapters that you have to know. And like, okay, there are certain chapters in the Bible you've got to go through. Luke chapter 24 is one of those. And I love Luke's version. It's the most Gentile out of all four versions of the Gospels. Luke, it is argued, was a Gentile himself and was not even actually Jewish. Some people would argue with that himself. But it was a big deal for our Jewish brothers and sisters to include this guy. He was beloved. He was one of the disciples. They understood the concept of the one new man, and they got together. And Brother Luke, the beloved physician, which means he is a people person. And because he is a people person, when you look at the book of Luke, he always gives the humanity of things going on. It's in the book of Luke that we learn about how Jesus was physically born. It's in the book of Luke that we see that Jesus gets mad, that Jesus cries. It's in the book of Luke that we actually see the humanity of Jesus. And because to old Brother Luke, he was the alpha male. That's who he was. And he was incredible. So we're going to be looking at the resurrection story. I'm starting off with Luke chapter 24, and here we go. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women, when they were with them, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. Okay, so we start off, it's the first day of the week. That means we're in a whole new week, and most people have bailed by now. But now we're into the continuance of the next week, and there are those people that are still in. Man, they're all the way in, and they're not giving up. Also, it's very early in the morning. I don't think that the sun has even come up yet, and they have come there to serve the Lord when it doesn't make sense anymore. It just doesn't make any more sense to do this. Why are you hanging on? Why are you being a part of this? It's a new week. We're talking about 8 days. You know, it's the eighth day. It's the beginning of the new week. It's Sunday morning. And here we go. These cats show up. And who is it that shows up? It's the faithful women. The women that are always dismissed and say, well, they don't have very much to offer. Well, it appears here that they have something to offer that nobody else has to offer because the dudes are gone. The dudes are gone. And so here we go. It says, then, with my glasses on, then they went in and they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. Okay. I want to stop and I want to just say this. This is very interesting to me. And I've thought about this verse a lot because the tomb was sealed to where you could not open it. But yet they showed up to go inside the tomb and actually prepare the body. And like what is that? I've never heard anybody preach on this before. Maybe you've got some answers to this. But my thought is that after a certain period of time, they were allowed to be able to get in there, that it was no longer going to be the Roman soldiers in charge, but it was actually the gardener that was going to be in charge. And I think that they might have actually known the gardener or the person that was in charge of the grounds. So they had showed up and went, well, the whole stinking Roman thing is over with, so now we can go in here and we can do the things that we need to do. So you understand what I'm talking about, the humanity of this thing, just the logistics of how it worked. Luke then goes on in verse 3. Then they went in and they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed. This term, greatly perplexed, could also... I want to just tell you, this was added in the King James and also in the New King James. They added the word greatly because the word perplexed there means perplexed to the extreme. So in the English language, we had to add that. So they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Okay, here we go, kids. This is where it all gets weird. It gets weird from this point forward, and I love this because it's in the moment where nothing makes sense that the power of God shows up. And I want to tell you, if you don't bell when it doesn't make sense, if you do not bell, and if you're willing to be there after everybody else has belled, when it doesn't make sense that what you're doing, I mean, why would you go there and even try and prepare the body if there's a seal on there? None of it makes sense. These ladies are intuitive. They know what their role is. They know what their job is, and they're serving the Lord. But it was in that moment where they had nothing but questions. There's two guys standing there, which will later be identified as actually as angels. And the first clue that they're angels is, you know, they got shining garments. Okay, remember, it's dark. So they would have stood out. I can imagine that they're standing there scratching their head going, okay, the hits just keep on coming. Where's the body of Jesus? The nightmare continues. And all of a sudden, this luminescent light begins to glow up everything around them, and then boom, there's two guys standing there. And then it says this. It says, then as they were afraid and they bowed their faces to the earth, that means that they knew that they were holy, they were of the Lord, they said to them, the angels said to the girls, why do you seek the living among the dead? Now, one of the things you're going to notice in the resurrection story is that God's camp always asks the question that you need to know. It's not that they don't know the answer. It's that, hey, let's cut to the chase without, you know, all the protocols and the formal things. Let's get together. I got to ask you a question. I need you to find the answer to this question. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Like, what are you doing? You're not looking in the right place. And then he says, why do you seek the living among the dead? Verse 6, he's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you whenever he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and crucified, and the third day rise again? They're like, okay, do you remember that? Like, okay, are you thinking through this lens? Are you remembering the Word of God? One of the things that you find out in Luke chapter 24 is that the Scriptures are not revealed to them yet, meaning there is this thing over their eyes, and they can't wrap their head around it. And in the resurrection story, there are certain times that things make sense, and most of the time, it doesn't make sense, and then boom, in an instant, it will. Do you know that God Almighty is going to do that in your life, the things that don't make sense? Do you know that there is a time where God is just going to see if you're going to be faithful in the places that don't make any sense? Well, Lord, didn't you tell me to call that person, and then that person was ugly to me? Lord, didn't you tell me to give that person money and they went out and got high or they got drunk with the money? You told me to do that. That doesn't make any sense. Okay, are you going to run off because of the offense and say, it's too much? It's just too much. These girls did not do that. And now they find themselves in the presence of angels, in the presence of angels who are announcing that, I don't know if you remember this or not, but this was an important part of your schooling. He even said he would be crucified and that he would rise up again on the third day. I wonder if as they walked there on the third day, so you got Friday is the first day, Saturday is the second day, Sunday is the third day. I wonder if they were having that discussion or if they were going there or if they were so upset. I mean, they'd literally seen Jesus beaten to a pulp in a horrible, horrible, horrible way and then hung up naked in front of everybody for those jokers to make fun of. Things are not right with them. But here they are being faithful when things don't make sense. I just got to tell you guys, don't bail. Don't bail because the Lord's going to make it make sense. I promise you. And guys, he loves to do that. So then it says this in verse 8, and they remembered his words. They're like, oh my gosh. Don't you love it, man, when the light comes on? Then they returned from the tomb, and they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Okay, so who were the first preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ in his resurrection power? It wasn't men. It was women. While churches might not employ women to preach the gospel, Jesus does. And I know that that makes a lot of people mad. And I'm sorry to actually read the Bible to you and actually tell you sometimes our church priorities and our church protocols are not the kingdom's. I do want to say this, though. There's nothing wrong with guys or girls getting together and say, no, we want to be gender biased in this thing. We want to add a masculine slant to this, or we want to add a feminine slant to that. Leanna does things all the time, and it's no boys allowed. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, the great Billy Graham organization actually got together and they decided we will not have women leadership. We're not going to do that. You know why? Because they didn't want to mess with it because it's tough for boys to work with girls. It's not tough for Jesus. It's not. And, you know, Billy Graham was able to get through his entire 50 or 60 year ministry without any kind of a sexual scandal. Most people cannot do that. Most people cannot. Jesus can. He sure can. So the women show up, and they are the ones that preach to the men that Jesus is risen. See, this is proof that even though Luke is the writer of this, he's under full inspiration of the Holy Ghost because an ancient Middle Eastern man, he would not have written that. This is a true story. This is real. I love this. But then it says this, and it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. So Luke reinforces, in case you don't know it was women, you need to know it was women preaching to the men, and these are the women. Then, by the way, this Mary, the mother of James, this is one of the six New Testament Marys. There's six of these cats named Mary. I can also tell you they're like, that's too much confusion. The name Zechariah shows up on 29 different characters throughout the Bible. The name David shows up on one character throughout the Bible. That's interesting. All right, verse 11. And their words seemed to them like idle tales. If you look up the word idle tales, it literally means nonsense. They're like, so here's the first preachers of the gospel preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ to the disciples. And their response was, that's nonsense. Like, you know what? It's too much. It's too much. It's all nonsense. It's just too much. This, what you find in the resurrection story is how Jesus deals with the ones that say it's too much and what he reveals to the one who says, I'm in. This is such a huge lesson for me. Okay, and their words seemed to them like nonsense or idle tales, and they did not believe them. Have you ever caught that? That the disciples did not believe the resurrection story as told by the women. They went, no, that did not happen. You girls have lost your gourd. You snapped. You're having a nervous breakdown. Like, this is nonsense. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb. Stop. Whenever this says this, Peter had awesome situational awareness. And it's one of the power stands of Peter throughout the scriptures It's just situational awareness. You can see this a few days later whenever they're in Galilee, they pull in the nets, and his situational awareness is, even though that doesn't look like Jesus, even though that doesn't sound like Jesus, I know this is Jesus. And he is sitting there, Peter is sitting there, and he's listening to these girls, and he's like, I got to go see. Because he knows this is the kind of thing that Jesus would do. And he's like, I got to go see. So he runs there, he runs to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Okay, whenever the Bible says he was marveling to himself, that means he was in awe and wonder, and he didn't have a clue what any of it meant. This is a huge part of my resurrection story, and this is a huge part of your resurrection story, friends, that there's going to be things that you see that you go, I don't know how this A plus this B equals anything. I don't understand it. I'm trying to figure it out, and I don't know what's going on. He went away marveling to himself, just going, what in the wide, wide world of sports could any of this mean? Mind you, he'd been through that same process. He'd been so beat up. He was so traumatized. Have you ever seen anybody nearly beat to death? Your buddy, your friend, somebody who you believed was all powerful? Literally forced to go through the crowds of Jerusalem, led by the Roman pig soldiers, spit on, beat up, whipped nearly to death, and then hung up naked outside of the city gates. Imagine the trauma. Imagine that. Okay, Peter is still in this mode, and at the time that he steps away, he really doesn't know what else to think about it. He's like, I can't tell what any of this is, and I don't know how much more of this I can be a part of. However, Peter jumped up and ran. Now, we know that in the book of John, John said, oh, he went by himself. I was there, and I actually beat him there. But Peter was the first one to go in. Well, there's some things that obviously that I could say about the whole thing about taking the handkerchiefs and taking the bandana and the whole nine yards and doing that. But in the remaining 3 minutes, I want to pray with you in the places where you are at that just doesn't make any sense. Because sometimes in the midst of resurrection power, we don't have a clue. And sometimes things don't make any sense. You know what? If that's you right there, I want to pray for you about that. Because resurrection power makes the light bulb come on, as you'll see next time whenever we continue within this passage. Father God, I want to let my friends, God, that are watching all over the planet Earth, Jesus, there's just so many things, God, that we just don't even know what to think about. You know, all this craziness, Lord God, that's happening in D.C., and the craziness, God, that's happening all over the world right now. UFO disclosures, what? What is that all about? The Epstein files? God, help us. Lord God Almighty, sir, we are determined. And I want to speak for my friend and my partner that is watching right this second, who's in a place where all they can do is shake their head. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would remove the scales. And I pray, Lord God, sir, that your resurrection power would move in every single person's life to where what hasn't made sense will make sense in an instant. Jesus, you are resurrected from the dead. And I love you, Lord, and I praise you, and I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, my goodness, don't you love Matthew chapter 24? Guys, I'm going to continue on this and broadcasts to come as we go through this thing together because this whole thing is awesome. And I'm about to end here by saying this. Listen to me. Jesus is resurrected. I promise you, Jesus is resurrected, and he's coming back soon. Now, for everybody that's watching all over all of my internet feeds and you're watching online, I want to say this to you. I'm just going to stay on here as we go behind the veil, and my friends are going to join me, and Shay's going to be here, Rebecca's going to be here, I don't know, whoever knows, but we're going to talk exclusively to our partners at ODX.TV, and if you are already on ODX.TV, stage two or stage three, stay there for another 20 or 30 minutes or so. It's exclusive just between us as friends and as partners. If you are not yet a partner, go to odx.tv, sign up today, and help me save boys and girls out of the horrors of sexual trafficking. Then help me raise those little boogers. Help me do that. Guys, I love you so much. And until the next time I see you, remember, ODX people, stay where you're at. I call you the head, not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Bye-bye, everybody.